The camera's not on back there. Is Johnny here?
Yeah, he's coming.
Here he comes. I thought I saw you. All right. Pizza night. Domino's has been very good to us.
Now they join stop.
Oh, they're not.
And strawberry.
I hope so.
Good.
Well, we'll keep an eye on them. But, I won't name names, but we were using three other pizza shops, and they, between burning our pizza, making it an hour ahead of time and being cold, or putting it under a lamp for an hour who knows how long, and just couldn't get anybody to do it right. So Domino's in Plain City has won our business for the time being. I went on Google and gave them a good review. I appreciate good service. It's just rare these days. We're going to start in Matthew 24, if you want to get your Bible open. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, this is a bit of a detour from our normal study, because I plan on making a trip to see the folks, and I thought, well, I was telling Jenny I'm not going to have time to edit the Sunday message for the radio program, and I'd already told you that I'd like to do a message on, if you missed the rapture, what then? So that's what we're going to do tonight. So it's going to be a little different. But just a reminder, send your prayer request into bbfohio@protonmail.com, onliners. And then in a moment, you can raise your hand, and Janie will bring around a prayer card and pencil if you need it. And I believe our cameras are all zoomed in, and sound check just about done. Yeah, good. All right. And your reminder to silence your cell phone ringer. Isla's paying close attention. She's ready to learn. So, as I said, tonight will be a little different. We're going to put the current events update with the regular study. So we're not going to take a break in between them. And our study tonight is a presentation to the world. We're going to have this online, and then I'm going to try to, if it turns out well, then we will try to find frames to put the message in a frame with a short note. And then you can also, I'm going to try to make it a type of frame where you can put a flash drive in there, and you can download the Revelation and Daniel studies along with the studies on the rapture and Bible prophecy and have it all on a flash drive. And if we get out of here anytime soon, then your friends and relatives can come to your house after you've disappeared, and they'll see that on the wall. Pop that thing in a DVD player, or put the flash drive in a computer, or whatever they want to do. So we'll have a few minutes at the end, unless I go over, where you can give questions and comments. But as I said, we're not going to take a break in between the current events and the Bible study. So I just want to go ahead and start with a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord to help us get through the study without any issues that keep us from being able to use it for that purpose. And then we'll let you know once they're available if we're going to do it, our long-term plan is. All right. Brother Jim, would you pray for this day?
Lord, Father, we ask you to listen to the service tonight. Thank you for the pastors prepared to listen to it. Lord, thank you that everybody in here is right.
Amen.
That our hearts are right with you, Lord, that we have a right relationship, and that we're not just playing religion, Lord, but we have a true Christian-based relationship with you, Jesus Christ. And if not, Lord, I pray you'll just convict us before we leave this place tonight. Lord, we just pray now that you would have your way with the service, Lord. Bless everyone here, Lord. Bless the heavenly mercy. So we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Current events update. So the stage is set for the rapture. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ will return after 7 years of great tribulation to this earth. And Jesus told us what to look for preceding his return. Of course, we don't have time to run all the references, but we've taught on this numerous times. Jews regathering in the land of Israel, then becoming a nation, and that was finalized in 1948. So a lot of people have been excited since 1948, and because it's been since 1948, and you're talking, what is that, 75 years, that some people are now scoffing at the idea, which was also prophesied by Peter, in the last days would come scoffers. Global government. As you can see, the whole world is being lined up, and if you just do a little research, you'll see that the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, on and on it goes. All the globalist organizations who are trying to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America and every nation and bring us into a global government with a one-world cashless economy. And I saw a chart where they showed how the number of cash transactions just continues to dwindle, and digital currency and cash continues to increase. They're getting ready to release a cashless system for the Fed. I think they're calling it the Fed coin. And that'll be just part of the whole global cashless society. And a unified religion of Antichrist, where we just say, you know, you have your truth, I have my truth. You have your God, I have my God. Let's all just get along. Everyone turn to page one in their praise books and let's sing Kumbaya. Along with all that is the revival of Sodom, which even 10 years ago wasn't as extreme as we see now. It's an amazing thing to watch. It's as it was in the days of Lot, which Jesus said it would be. Hatred of Bible Christians. You can be a Christian, but not one that believes the Bible. If you believe the Bible, that's hate speech. Technological advancement. Daniel talked about knowledge increasing, and the sense of the text is that it would be exponential. And exponential means it's basically like doubling every so often. Instead of doubling every 1,000 years, now it's doubling every 1,000 days. And so that's taking place, along with global travel. They will travel to and fro, meaning globally. Interconnection, where now anybody with a phone or internet connection, you can video FaceTime just like the Jetsons. Yeah. And global communications, which Brian Massa brought up last week. Again, I point where he usually sits. say hi to Brian. He's out there
tonight. Hi, Brian.
But the global communications includes the ability for the whole world to see the two witnesses when they're murdered in the streets of Jerusalem. And that was never even possible until recent years. So all of those things are the signs of the end times. And we're told how to respond to these things. Jesus said, Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Yeah.
That's the first clear teaching in the New Testament that the second coming, and or what we call the return of Jesus, when He comes to the earth to establish His kingdom and rule and reign, is different than the salvation of the church that comes at the rapture. We look up, our redemption draweth nigh, as these things begin to come to pass. That's before the tribulation. And so the Bible teaches that the rapture of the church precedes the tribulation and return. Now, the tribulation, we studied in depth. I'll reference it again at the end to tell anybody watching this, you want to learn, you go to our website, bbfohio.com, and look at our Revelation studies. And from chapter 6 through 19, it unfolds the entire tribulation period with seven seals, vials, and trumpets. And that's what the tribulation period is all about, the wrath of God. But we have been saved from wrath. We studied this recently, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we will be raptured before the wrath of God is poured out. At the end, when He's done 7 years of tribulation, He will return and come to the earth. That's different than the rapture, which happens in the air. The day of the Lord begins with the rapture. And I want to repeat this. Charlie and I were talking about this again yesterday because it's really something when you give it much thought. The moment after the rapture will be the darkest day on planet Earth since the fall.
Amen.
And at this time, it'll be the first time since the fall when there's not a single believer, saved believer, Bible believer on the planet.
Wow.
And we're told that in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, does a thief send you a warning or an RSVP before breaking in?
No.
No, he does not. If you're here after the rapture, you can know at least very close to the time when Jesus is going to return. It's 7 years after the covenant is confirmed between Antichrist, Israel, and the global government. The rapture could happen before I'm done talking.
Amen.
The rapture can happen while we're asleep tonight.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Amen.
We get up every morning and I look over and Jenny says, "We're still here." Yes, we are. But Jesus said in Matthew 24:42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Verse 43 said, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched." And see, a lot of Christians today are not watching. Those who are left behind, one of the things they're going to wonder about is all these Christians disappearing, but they never talked about the rapture. They never talked about Jesus coming back. Why? I mean, who would not talk about that? That's huge. And that's what a lot of people are going to be thinking when they go up. They're going to be ashamed of themselves. And then there's going to be a lot of people left behind who thought they were Christians and they really weren't saved. So you'll have all that going on at the time of the rapture. But it says that the good man of the house, if he had known when the thief was going to show up, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. That's what a wise man will do. Once he learns these things, he'll take appropriate action. And Jesus said in verse 44, "Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." That gives the indication that what I just talked about, how so few Christians seem to care, another sign. "In an hour ye think not."
Amen.
So the rapture could happen at any moment, and when it does, just like that. Now, there'll be some churches that, well, not very many people will disappear.
Yep.
And that'll be one of the reasons people will buy some of the explanations for the rapture. So then, once the rapture happens and millions have disappeared, now what? Now, there's a possibility that someone left behind after the rapture gets hold of this and watches this message. That's how we're going to approach it as we're teaching it. So let's read in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 21 through 25. And we're going to read the odd verses, so you'll start with me in verse 21. Let's read through verse 25. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Amen?
Amen.
So in response to millions disappearing, Satan and his forces will begin to deceive the world about what happened. I believe this will happen immediately. I mean, just like any other news story. There's a school shooting. What do? Immediately they have the talking heads come on and talk about gun control. That's exactly how it works. So when the rapture happens, immediately you're going to have talking heads coming on TV and telling people that what happened was not what those crazy fundamentalists say happened. In verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. So you're going to have plenty of religious leaders doing this on TV. And shall show great signs and wonders. And of course, we don't have time to get into great detail about this, but we discussed it in our Daniel and Revelation studies. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So the deception and delusion will be strong.
Amen.
That's pretty fascinating because I think it's already very strong.
Yeah.
You talk to anyone who's woke today, they are completely out of their minds.
Yeah.
They look at you with a glazed over look, and when you tell them the facts, they couldn't care less. Imagine what the delusion is going to be like after the rapture. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 says, and for this cause God shall send them what?
Strong delusion,
that they should believe a lie. It's important to know exactly what actually happened. For the sake of those left behind, let's discuss the truth first before we get to the lies. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Read it with me. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. If we're reading this right, when the rapture has happened, it will have happened faster than you can clap your hands. Twinkling of an eye is something that happens in a millisecond, they say. You won't have time to grab a hold of your friend going up. And believe it or not, there are some people through the years who have believed they could do that. There was a fellow who said he spent a lot of time at his mom's house, hanging out with his mom, so that if the rapture happened, he'd grab hold of her on the way up. I met this guy. It's a true story.
That's crazy.
Behold, I show you a mystery. It's only a mystery to those who don't read the Bible, by the way. It's not a mystery to us. But it is a mystery to the world. We shall not all sleep. That's talking about dying. There's some people who aren't going to die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. At this video I showed, it sounded like thunder. But you go back and look, there's times where when there's a trumpet sound, they say it was like thunder. So it's not a terrible representation of what people on the earth might hear at the time of the rapture. And, of course, we will hear it. And the question some people have is, well, will the rest of the world hear it? You've got to save it till later. Will we hear? Yes. But will the world hear what? I think it's going to sound like thunder to them. Now, I may be wrong about that. If someone's watching this and the rapture took place and you didn't hear thunder, then you know I'm not a prophet. I'm just a Bible teacher. And that's what I just want to emphasize that. All we do is believe this book. And this book is what's teaching us what we believe about the rapture. Now, this event is also described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, which we studied a few weeks ago. But let's go back and read a couple of those verses again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And it's the same event. It's just described a little differently. Read 16 and 17 with me. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that describes the rapture. That's the truth about what happens whenever millions disappear. And so if you're watching this and the millions have disappeared, what you're going to hear are the lies. And we've already been told ahead of time what the major lies are going to be. Some will say that aliens have abducted a certain element of human society. They're already, well, of course, we hear about the abduction stories. There are already supposed to be millions of people who claim to have had either abductions or encounters with aliens. So it's going to be very believable to a lot of people that this happened to us when we disappeared. Aliens took us. This may include people who call themselves Christian who are left behind. You know, there are a lot of Christian conservatives today who aren't born-again believers. They are members of Christian denominations or Christian churches. They were raised, you know, in a Christian home, quote unquote. But as far as a personal faith in Jesus Christ, repenting personally toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and they rose again the third day according to the scriptures, talk to them and they'll tell you, well, no, I'm not a fanatic. I haven't gone that far. I've talked to people who say they're a Christian, and we bring up being born again, they say, well, that's Baptist doctrine. I said, that's John 3:7. That's not a Baptist doctrine, that's a Bible doctrine. As are the words of Jesus Christ, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So, this is happening now. This fellow, Matt Walsh, is a hero of the Christian right. Claims to be a Christian. Someone told me he's a Roman Catholic. I don't know. But he posted this just yesterday. Intelligence officials now confirm that UFOs of non-human origin have been recovered and studied. At this point, the only reason to discount these reports is your own preconceived belief that aliens can't exist. The evidence is really overwhelming now. The evidence isn't really overwhelming of aliens. And a UFO, it just means unidentified flying object. It doesn't mean it came from another planet. Yep. It's just an object in the air that's not been identified. And so, no, it's not overwhelming. Whatever they're finding, whatever they're supposed to be studying, I think if it really did have any, if there's any possibility it was from aliens, we'd know about it. I zoomed in, but won't read it again. So others then will say that the rapture was spirit beings taking away nonconformists. Now let me tell you something. Let me educate you if you don't already know this. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, the liberals and leftists in this country wish you would be raptured. They're looking forward to the rapture because they don't believe it'll be God. They believe it's going to be either aliens or spirit guides. that are going to take us away to extraterrestrial re-education camps or something of that sort. This was first taught in 1931 by Japanese New Age teacher Miyushu Sama. I read this when I first got saved. The first book I read, and it's really the first adult level book I ever read in my life, Dark Secrets of the New Age. I don't recommend Tex Mars for your doctrine or anything like that, but I believe in giving credit where it's due. He was quoting a Moira Timms.
Moira
Timms. Close enough. Her book is called, I guess it's a female, Prophecies and Predictions, Everyone's Guide to the Coming Changes. That was written in 1980. So she's writing in 1980, quoting a guy from 1931. Or she's telling this anyway, the story. In 1931, at the age of 45, this Miyushu Sama was given a revelation that disclosed to him what he called, quote, God's divine plan for the new age. He supposedly learned that humanity is to go through a great transitional period, turning from the old age of darkness to the new age of light. During this transitional period, those with negative vibrations, Bible Christians is I guess what we
get,
will be removed from the earth in an earth-shaking purification process, end quote. I'm feeling the bad vibrations.
That's from my brain.
And it's coming from y'all. So this is interesting. I'm just curious. So I did a simple search in my Brave browser, and this is the result. I'm Scout's Honor. This is what came up. I didn't tinker with it. I put in the search, New Age Explanation for the Rapture. This is the first thing, the summary that came up. According to the New Age perspective, the rapture is a global cleansing action that will remove dark thought forces to allow the earth to ascend to a higher plane of existence. So when you just put in the search terms, New Age Explanation for the Rapture, that's what comes up. Goes on to say Barbara Marciniak is a well-known New Age channeler. That means she's involved with contacts with devils. She predicts this event. The rapture is seen as a global cleansing action that will remove dark thought forces to allow the earth to ascend to a higher plane of existence. Repeats itself a little bit there. And the source of this information is described as straight from the mind of Satan disguised as an alien. And that's a true statement right there. So the alien or spirit guide explanation, whichever one you hear, are lies of Satan. If you miss the rapture, be sure that you go to the Bible to understand exactly what's going on, because the lies will be thicker and heavier than they were during the COVID pandemic. So what's next? The next main event is the appearance of a single man to lead world government. We talked about that in our current events Sunday, the result of what they call equality. They use the word equity, that everybody's the same. Therefore, they turn to mob-ruled democracy, and it leads to tyranny and one-man rule. Well, that's predicted in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So, immediately after the rapture, the false stories explaining the rapture, and global government under one man, one leader. This world leader will broker a covenant with world governments and with Israel. Let's look at that real quick in Daniel 9:27. And in our Daniel studies, we go into great detail about this. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and really it begins in verse 24 explaining the 70 weeks prophecy that we have a message on for those who want to learn that. Look it up on our website. Verse 27 begins by saying, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for what?
1 week.
1 week. In prophecy terms, that's 7 years. Just as there's 7 days in a week, 1 week in prophecy is 7 years. Then what you can look forward to is in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. This 1 week, 7 year covenant will include the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, the reinstitution of blood sacrifice, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and so forth. So this world leader will require you, if you've been left behind, to take a mark with a number in allegiance to him as God and to his world government. It will be required. It'll be worse than vaccinations. look at Revelation 13, beginning verse 16. Revelation 13, 16 through 18 explains how that this one world leader will cause. Verse 16, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." Now read 17, 18. "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. That's the number 666. There's much more about this man and his wickedness, but that is the main thing to remember or to learn if you've missed the rapture and you're left behind. So there are two main things you need to know as you enter this time of great tribulation. Number one, do not take the mark of the beast.
Amen.
If you have missed the rapture, the number one rule, do not take the mark of the beast. Now, some Christians might say, I would think the first thing you'd want to do is tell them about Jesus. No, I'll tell you why in just a moment. The first thing you want to make sure is you don't take the mark of the beast, because if you do, Jesus can't help you anymore.
That's right.
Revelation 14, go over just a page from where you're at. Revelation 14, beginning verse 9. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand," read 10, 11 with me. "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." I don't care what anybody else tells you. What you just read tells you that if you take the mark of the beast, you are eternally damned with no hope of salvation.
Yep.
So if you miss the rapture, the first thing you need to understand is you do not take the mark of the beast. If you do, it's over. Take the mark of the beast, 666, and you are eternally lost.
Amen.
Now, I guess I just need to say this, especially for those who might see this after the rapture. There are now false teachers who have told people that they can take the mark of the beast and still be saved.
Yeah.
John MacArthur taught that, and I've been told he rescinded it.
Amen.
But there have been others who have taught that, and it's a lie. It's false doctrine. We just read it. There were no exceptions.
Amen.
So if you have not taken the mark of the beast, and you're watching this, and you've missed the rapture, then you need to understand, number two, repent and believe on the biblical Jesus.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 explains what Jesus Christ has done to save you. If you have missed the rapture, you are still lost in your sins. That's why you were left behind. You were not washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's why you were left behind. You have not taken the mark, so it's not too late. And 1 Corinthians 15 begins right from the very start, right? Verse 1 tells you what we're reading. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what?
The gospel.
The good news, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Read 3 and 4 with me. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ died for your sins. You did not believe on Him before the rapture. You were left behind. Now you must repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel and not taking the mark.
Amen.
With your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must avoid at all costs taking the mark of the beast. That includes even if it costs you your life or somebody else's, no matter the cost.
That's right.
You have to set your mind that you are going to go either to the end of the tribulation or to the death without taking the mark of the beast.
That's right.
With your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. As Lord and Savior.
Amen.
If you do that, you will be saved. Now, that's not the message we preach before the rapture. Before the rapture, we don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. That doesn't happen until the 70th week, which begins after the rapture, when they confirm that covenant we read about in Daniel 9:27. But after the rapture, it's believe the gospel and don't take the mark. If you say, I believe the gospel, and then you take the mark, you'll still go to hell. Matthew 24:13, Jesus said this when talking about those who would be in that tribulation period. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
If you are able, and our website is not taken down when you're seeing this message, which could happen before the rapture, but we pray it doesn't happen until after the rapture and that it'll remain up for at least a little while. You can go to our website at bbfohio.com. This is what it looks like now. No matter what it looks like when you visit it, you want to look for the sermons link. And when you click on that, we have a complete sermon archive. Right now, 3,552 sermons. You can listen to half hour a day for more than 10 years. And you'll just catch up to where we are now and still have 10 more years to listen. And that's just the way it ought to be. Bible's out there for you, whatever you want to. Yeah, and there's all those. Well, that's what you can find our entire 100-hour study of the book of Revelation. And then we have an entire study of the book of Daniel. We have studies on the rapture, on Bible prophecy. And if you're sitting here today, especially if you've been sitting here for a good while and you don't know what you should know about those things and you haven't been doing this, shame on you. And those folks watching online, stop being lazy. Stop being apathetic. If you don't know what you ought to know, get on there and start studying so that you can be a witness to these people before the rapture, and maybe they'll go with us. You may have to die for refusing to take the mark of the beast. I heard one preacher preach a whole sermon. He said, you can go the easy way or you can go the hard way.
That's right.
And he talked about it. Jesus has made it so easy for us. He really has. It's not hard for us. He did all the work. He paid the price. He suffered and died. He shed his blood and paid the full price for sin. He conquered sin and death when he rose from the dead. And he tells you to repent and believe that gospel. You know, anybody who understands that right after the rapture, they're going to realize they were among the dumbest human beings to ever walk the planet. Anybody who understands that gospel and does not believe on Christ to be saved and is left behind, I'm not saying that to be mean. And folks, at that point, they're not going to be offended. They're going to say, you're right, preacher. You're so right. I was such a fool. So why not do it if you're watching this before the rapture?
Amen.
Why not do it?
Amen.
Or if you don't die, you haven't taken the mark, you endure to the end, there's a possibility you'll live to see Jesus return. I just don't think that's going to be a very large number of people. So in all seriousness, if someone's watching this right after the rapture, believe on the Lord, that gospel message, and set your mind that you will die before ever taking that mark. I just think of all the people that we preach the gospel to, and a lot of them have heard this information, and they persist in unbelief. And a moment after that rapture, imagine what that's going to be like for them. There are going to be a lot of people totally clueless. They're not going to know the first thing about what's going on. This message would be a great thing for them to see. But there's a lot of people, the moment after the rapture, they'll know exactly what's happened. And they'll know exactly why they're left behind. And we've talked about the fact that there's a possibility those people will be among the first handed over to a reprobate mind and strong delusion. But I'll tell you this, if you're watching this after the rapture and you're under conviction, that's not you. If you are unsaved right now before the rapture and you're under conviction, that's not Greg Miller. That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit working on you. And don't put it off. The Bible says now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Otherwise, Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. Be informed, pray, and act accordingly. Amen? All right. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Johnny.
I think I figured out why nobody's going to be taking anyone with them up to the rapture. We're already told that at the rapture, we'll all get brand new bodies just like Christ. And right now, most of the time whenever anyone's near God in the Bible, they could be killed. Just with the glory and everything. So if you try to take somebody with you, they'd probably die immediately.
He's talking about if they could grab a hold of you. But yeah. The thing is, too, a fellow who said he wanted to hang around with his mother so he could grab a hold of her when she goes up. Somebody else I talked to was saying, well, you don't know that's not possible. I said, well, the thing is, what I believe the Bible teaches is when we go up, we're not going to take our clothes with us. So you grab a hold of somebody by the shirt, you're just going to be standing there holding a shirt. And because you know what we're going to be clothed with when we're glorified? the righteousness of Christ that describes it as light.
Amen.
I believe we'll look just like those angels. We're not angels. We'll be as the angels. And those angels at the tomb said they shone with light. Jesus is the light. We are the children of light. We've done a study on that. It gets real clear that basically you're not going to need a suit on because you're going to glow. Jessica? Who said that? After the rapture?
Yeah.
There
won't be peace.
No, they'll say peace and safety. It doesn't mean there will be peace and safety. I mean, they'll say that. They actually, you can see a taste of it now. They get back, we are the world, you know, all that stuff that happened in the 80s. You know, peace, yeah. So it's all a facade.
Okay.
But the moment after the rapture, you got personal, it'll be a personal chaos. People are going to check out. They're going to people lose their minds and everything. Then the world will be in chaos. The Antichrist is going to try to bring everything together. But at no point during the 7 year will there be actual peace. It'll be a false peace. And in a lot of, I believe the mark of the beast may have the same effect that like a severe psych drug will happen on people. Everybody walking around like zombies, you know, that kind of thing. Looking like that. Charlie?
No. Question you're going to be sharing before, but do you have a teaching on who the false prophet and beast?
Yeah, Revelation 13. If you go back to it's several messages. There's one on each, and then there's
chapter 13.
And so those of you who missed that, how many of you have been told that the false prophet will come ahead of time, like John the Baptist did for Jesus? That's totally false. And Revelation 13 makes it clear that the first beast to show up is the Antichrist. The second beast that shows up is the false prophet. And he shows up when the Antichrist gets a wound of the head that's deadly. And then I believe there's a resurrection. I believe that corpse of the Antichrist then becomes devil-possessed. And the false prophet then will cause everyone to worship his image and take the mark and so forth. Yeah, it's like a real life zombie situation. Yeah, Doug, did you?
Yeah, well, you were talking about the Trump will go off or something.
At the rapture, yeah.
It wasn't Donald. Right?
No. Trump. You think? Hey, go out on YouTube and look it up. There's people who taught that. They called him the last Trump. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. 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 Johnny.
You basically already said this, but wouldn't it be interesting if we eventually find out that the Mark of the Beast has like mind control technology in it? I think there's all sorts of.
It's got to be some. The effect will definitely be like that. Whether it's in the mark or it's just God's effect of taking the mark, one way or another, that's what happens.
We know there's all sorts of technology that they've tried to make over the past centuries.
Elon Musk, man, he's got invested in it, the brain chip thing, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Could be. We don't know. We don't know exactly. Darren?
Right now, our kind of God's purpose for us is to preach the gospel to the lost. How would that change after the tribulation? What would God want you to be?
You'll still be preaching Christ crucified, but in addition, you'll preach the warning of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, and you'll be saying, the rapture's happened, now the return is coming soon.
So if you touch on the Jewish witnesses, because that's going to be going on for the people that missed the rapture.
Yeah, and that's why it's important for anybody who wants to know, there's so much that we have covered in 100 hours of study in the book of Revelation. And one of those is the Revelation 7. revelation of the 144,000, which are not the Jehovah's Witnesses. And the 144,000 are 12,000 from all 12 tribes of Israel. And these men are said to be virgin men, so probably young men. They won't have any families or children. They will totally dedicate themselves to preaching what we just talked about and declaring the Messiah of Israel to the Jews and as Savior to the world, denouncing the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. And I believe all 144,000 will be martyred, because it says later that they are in heaven before the tribulation's over. And they're under the altar and saying, "How long, Lord?" And you say, "What? Shouldn't they know?" The Bible says from the time of the covenant to the return, 7 years. These people getting saved in the tribulation don't have time for Bible studies. That's why we're telling them, don't expect to be able to go to church and just hang out and drink coffee and study the Bible. You're going to have to get our studies if you can get them and listen to them on the run, possibly. But there's not going to be a lot of Bible scholarship going on during the tribulation period, if any legitimate. Yeah, Joe?
Small editorial comment. The
C. Oh, don't spell check me.
Well, I don't Mark. Know if you're putting this...
Mark.
Okay, I wanted to explain myself what she was trying to say earlier. Okay, after the rapture, things will settle down for a little bit, because there's going to be a time frame between the rapture's probably very small time frame.
But the Bible doesn't teach that. I'm telling you, prophecy teachers have taught that, but the Bible doesn't say that.
Don't you think there would be kind of like a small window between the right after the
no, I think
and,
it,
the revelation?
No. The only thing there's going to be a break in is between the rapture and the confirmation of the covenant. But that there's nothing biblical that says that's going to be a time of like relative peace or anything.
Peace. Not peace, but
there is a time interval, yeah, between the rapture and the confirmation of the covenant. We're not told exactly how long.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But again, it'll be everybody freaking out, people going into institutions, people committing suicide, all kinds of crazy stuff going on, stocks tanking, people losing their jobs, economic turmoil, and that's one of the reasons the Antichrist is going to have such an easy time taking over. And you also might have the Gog-Magog War.
Yeah.
That could happen before the rapture or during that interval. And then that gives him the open door to come in, because that'll take care of the militant Muslims. The Gog-Magog War, 5 out of 6 of that Islamic Russian Confederation dies off. So yeah, that's I was just wanting to clarify that there's no teaching of there being any kind of peace after the rapture, but what you're saying, that interval is important to understand between the rapture and the confirmation of the covenant. That doesn't happen the same day, and we don't know how much time there is, but it's not going to be, I don't believe there's any grounds to believe it's years, but it could be like months.
I'm just saying it could be days.
Yeah, it could be, but I think it'll be, one of the things is they say, here's the thing to throw in there too, is they say, according to the Temple Mount Faithful is a group that's ready to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And the last I heard was they said they need 6 months. So let's say a rapture happens and they go right to business. 6 months, the temple is ready to go. They sign that, confirm that covenant. The sacrifices start.
Yeah. They have the red pepper already, right?
Yeah. I've actually heard or read where they've had those ready, but because they've delayed, then they've had to keep getting one ready. So they have like a line now that should...
They have a supply chain.
Yeah, supply chain. The reason, by the way, for the red heifer, in case you're wondering, is that in order to consecrate the temple and the priesthood, there's a specific sacrifice involving the red heifer, that has to take place. And so... back in the 70s, when they developed a pure red heifer originally, it was like real excitement. And that might have been one of the 88 reasons Jesus was supposed to return in 1988. But, don't put a date on this, the rapture. The only thing we know is 7 years after the confirmation of the covenant, the return takes place. All right, so with that, let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, and We do pray that those who might see this message before the rapture will be it'll wake them up to the need to be saved, or if they're saved but living apathetic, nominal Christian lives, they'll get serious about learning your word and serious about walking with you in prayer and serious about preaching the gospel before it's too late and we can't do it anymore. It's one thing we will not do after the rapture anymore is preach the gospel. Our opportunities are all in the right here and now. We pray that we'll take advantage of that opportunity we have, and we'll do so. And we just ask you bless those who listen to this and are encouraged by it. And bless our time this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, stand and agree, let's close with a song. Soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Bye, everybody.